So we've heard this story of the resurrection. You hear it every year, and we know a good preacher will go over it, you know, from time to time during the year, and it is what makes us Christians. It is the event. It's our Super Bowl, isn't it? This is what it all is about, is that death has been defeated. Not just another prophet who was killed. They killed all the prophets before him. They even killed one in the midst of the temple. But this is the one they couldn't kill. This was the Son of God. So we read here at John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved. That's quite a thing to call yourself, isn't it? You know who I am? I'm the one Jesus loved, as opposed to the other ones. And he said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. And both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping in to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw, and he believed. For as they yet did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood there weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She replied, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus says, "Don't cling to me, for I have yet not ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them this, that I am ascending to my Father, and to your Father, to my God, and to your God." So Mary Magdalene went, and she announced to the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Amen to that. Why are you weeping? Why do we weep outside at the tomb each and every when we come by? We know because our hearts are filled with grief, but Jesus says, "What are you weeping for? We're going to see the Father." So now that it's Easter Sunday, and I need to bring up, who are we going to talk about today? And I thought, you know, here's what they would love. The crowd would love this. We're going to talk about Cornelius. That's right, because it's Easter Sunday. Anyone knows Cornelius? Robbie, we're going that way, all right? You know what happens? One of my favorite songs, you guys know the Steel Wheels? You guys ever hear them people? They sing this song called, "Things are out of our control. Sometimes they go sideways." You ever hear that song? You got to listen to that one. That's a good one. We were listening to Lyle Lovett yesterday, weren't we? Because the preacher was preaching too long. And guess it's going to happen again, isn't it? No, we're good. But how are we going to talk about Cornelius and who is he? Because here's the thing. What do we do with this resurrection? What do we do moving forward? And this is such a poignant moment. It's so special. And we see Jesus and he's overcome death just like he promised. He came back. And so the disciples, we don't know what to do with this, do we, when we see a resurrection? But Jesus says, this is what's happening. Now, what do we do with this gift? Because last week, remember what we talked about on Palm Sunday? We talked about the gifts that were given to us. Right, Karen? The meanest, the three months gift he was given each and every one. Some were given 10, some are given 5, some are given 1. And everyone has to do something with the gift they're given. So what are we going to do now with this resurrection when we leave here today? And it comes in Acts chapter 9. Peter's kind of going around. He's an itinerant minister. He's kind of cruising around town. And, you know, Jerusalem isn't exactly safe for him, so he's going by the seaside. And there, he went there, in verse 32. And he came down to all the saints who lived at Lydda, which is on the coast. And there he found a man named Aeneas. And he had been bedridden for 8 years, and he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you and makes you your bed. And immediately he got up. We've seen Jesus do this, haven't we? There and where? Luke chapter 5. I'm not panicking, Kim, but you know, that's where it happens. Luke chapter 5 and also Mark 5, we see Jesus getting a man off his bed. He says, rise. So all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and they turned to the Lord. Things are changing when people are going out, touching people in the name of Jesus. Verse 36, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. I'd go with Tabitha, just me. She was full of good works and acts of charity. And in those days, she became ill and she died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there and raising people off their mats, they sent two men to him and said, come without delay. Remember, Jesus did this before there in the book of Mark, where he's walking down the street and wants to go to Jairus' house, and they're saying, come heal my little girl. And the woman grabs him, remember, that she's bleeding, and Jesus stops and says, no, I won't come. I'm going to stay here with her. But this time, Peter's on his way. So Peter rose and he went with them, and when they arrived, they took him to the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made. She was good to people. She was taking care of them. She was feeding the homeless. She was putting coats on their back. She was doing good things, and now she was dead. And so Peter raises her. He grabs her hand and says, Talitha cum, just like Jesus said to the little girl. He said, sweetheart, get up. And she got up. Acts chapter 10, at Caesarea, there's a man named Cornelius. He's a Roman centurion, which means he's in charge of 100 people. It was what was known as the Italian regiment. He was a devout man, and he feared God and all of his household. And he gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed always to God. And about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God comes to him and says, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? Every time we read the book of Luke, every time an angel appears, everyone's afraid, aren't they? Would you be afraid if you saw an angel of the Lord? I would be too. It's a natural reaction. But he says, what is it, Lord? We know that when Abraham hears God's voice, he just says, here I am. And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial, as a fragrant offering. They've been lifted up. When we do good things, when we feed the homeless, we clothe them, it goes up to him and he gathers it around him. The angel of the Lord says, send people to Joppa, to Simon, a tanner, a man who is unclean, whose house is by the sea. They got that part right when they talk about a tanner being unclean. Joe Mackey and I, his business was collecting cowhides, right, Poteet? Remember them days? You were unclean after loading up some cowhides because they're a little bit, moist, or juicy. This is what we did. We dragged them on the pickup. We were ashamed to go into restaurants. But we were hungry, so we did. What is your profession? You don't want to know. But it pays the bills. Feeds his kids. So the angel spoke to him who had departed, and he called two of his servants and a devout soldier. And they sent him to Joppa to get Peter. And there's Peter. He's there, and he's hanging out on the roof of this house. Just hanging out there. He's up on the roof, and he's praying. And he has this vision. And this big sheet comes down from heaven. And there's animals on it. And God says, eat them all. Eat all the animals. And Peter says, no, I'm not allowed to eat those animals. I'm not allowed. There's crab cakes sitting there. There's oysters, Chuck. And what does Peter say? I won't eat those. They're unclean. Leviticus 11, food laws. There's pork on there. Oh, he can't eat. That's a filthy animal, right? I won't eat these things. But God says, I made them. They are not unclean. They are clean for you. Peter says no. God says yes. Peter says no. It takes Peter three times, doesn't it? He denied him three times with the rooster. And there he is in John 21 sitting on the beach. And Jesus says, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Because Peter, like us, doesn't quite get it the first time around or the second, but he needs the third time to understand. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you love me, Peter? And these people are not unclean. Here's what I need you to do. God's in front of him. Here's what I need you to do, Peter. I need you to forget being a Jew, forget those dietary laws, and focus on what's important. Come to me. Meet with the Gentile. This guy knows who God is. He needs you. You're going to come together. You are one people. Because what does it say there? Peter says, after he meets with Cornelius, and I'll close with this. So Peter opened his mouth, and he said, truly understand that God shows no partiality, but every a nation who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism. John proclaimed how God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses to this, that he did it both for the country of the Jews in Jerusalem, but they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who've been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witnesses, like Isaiah there in 53, that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen to that. That's what he came to do. There's no Jew. There's no, what are we, Gentiles anymore? There's no free, there's no slave, no woman or man. We're just one people. We are his people. And it's a hurting, broken world out there. And he's given every one of you gifts. And what are you doing with the gifts? Are you sharing your gifts? Or are you keeping them under a bushel? No, we're going to let it shine, right? What are we doing with the things? You may be giving a little. Maybe you don't know much. But you know, he gave you something. Maybe you're giving a lot, like me and Poteet back there. We're giving so much that we got to share this, right? This is it. This is the time. This world needs you. Do you know that? You can't just keep it at home. There's someone hurting. I got a friend. She doesn't want to go to church. She's got to go to church. Someone there needs her. She doesn't know yet. God knows. He's going to put them together. We saw God in the middle. Cornelius, Peter, Jew, Gentile, Roman, fishermen, come together and go out and share the word of God that you know. All right to that? We can't do it. We can't sit at home. We've got to go out there where the people are. And is it scary? Yes, because the 12 of you stood up today and it was scary, wasn't it? Just a little bit, but you did it. Right, Gene? You did it. We do that. We can stand up and preach the word to people. Amen to that.